identify the patterns that your players are going to be in the most within your system, and then get them really good at recognizing those patterns. They don't need to see everything. That's going to slow down their improvement. So how do we do that as a coach? Well, first, you need to design a system that's going to put your players in similar patterns more so they can improve faster.
If you're better at those patterns than the opponent, you'll win that match.
Welcome to The Hours. This is a podcast for coaches at all levels who want to think, teach, and lead better. I'm Mark Cascio, joined by Tyler Costin, and we call this The Hours because this is where we get to deep dive and have real conversations and spend real time on the things that actually matter. You can get the show notes and tools from today's episode in our weekly newsletter, so check out the link below. Let's get into this week's episode.
All right, welcome to this very special episode of The Hours. I'm here with my friend,
Kyle.
One might say good friend.
I wouldn't.
With my friend, Kyle. And Kyle is a basketball guy. Many of you probably are familiar with all the work that we did with PGC, PGC Basketball. Kyle is one of the best directors that we ever had at PGC Basketball, Division I college basketball player, excellent coach and teacher. And I brought him on today, not just to talk about his basketball journey, but Kyle's actually a professional athlete.
Yeah, I am.
And it's interesting. I don't think, Kyle, growing up, I don't think you ever planned to be a pro in anything other than basketball.
No. In fact, I do think if people are just listening to this, they should probably go back and watch it, because I feel like it's going to be funnier and more fun if you're watching too.
If you're just listening, turn it off immediately. Please don't keep listening.
Pull the car over.
Yeah. Turn into the YouTube stream.
I think in high school, I pulled this out the other day, in high school, my senior year, I was voted most likely to become a professional athlete.
Oh, really?
Solely.
I was voted biggest flirt.
Solely on the idea that I would play professional basketball, which I was in a small town. People didn't know anything about the height.
Niceville, Florida. Shout out Niceville. I've been there.
Yeah. And so I didn't want to play in the NBA. I always wanted to play at Duke. In fact, I thought I was a Duke fan my whole life. I went to camp 3 years in a row, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. I thought I would be a Duke basketball player literally until the moment. And let me just tell another quick moment here.
Could you please talk about it?
Yeah. So I guess this is a podcast. Usually we have these conversations in this chair, not recorded. But I got recruited by a lot of Division IIs and Division IIIs. And then I got an offer from Division I school, which was my dream to play at Division I, which is a whole other topic. But I got an offer from Louisiana at Monroe, ULM. And so I remember it was on signing day. It was early signing period, which was pretty cool. I got to sign before the season started. And my middle school coach was there. My high school coach was there. My family was there. We're in an auditorium. There's like five or six other athletes who are signing that day from other sports. And so go through. And we actually don't sign the dotted line for my college scholarship in that moment at the table.
Oh, you just fake it?
He's like, just fake it. We'll do it after. Oh, which actually I didn't really understand, because it was actually just one signature and we'd already read the whole thing. So anyway, we didn't do it and took some pictures. And then afterwards I had practice, pieces of practice. So I go over to the locker room and I kind of had to use the bathroom, not number one, you know what I mean? And so I get over there.
Tell us more.
And so I'm sitting in the stall. And I hear a knock at the locker room door, which, of course, I can't get it to it because I'm...
You're going number one.
And so all of a sudden, the door opens and I just hear, Kyle, you in here? And I was like, yes. And then my dad walks in and he slides the scholarship papers under the stall. He goes, hey, we need to fax this
I've never heard this story.
Louisiana Monroe right now. And I was like, this second? Yeah. I was like, and then he also made a couple comments about the smell. But I signed the dotted line. And as I was signing the dotted line, that was like the moment where I'm like, man, I'm not going to play for Duke.
I actually thought you were going to say, and then I heard, Kyle, you're in here. It was Coach K.
Yeah, it was Coach K. That was even better. And so I signed the dotted line, yeah. And I was like, man, my Duke dream is over. But I did then go on to play college basketball at Louisiana Monroe for 2 years. Then I ended up transferring to Rollins College, was the D2 for 2 years.
So Kyle's a basketball guy is the point. You went to Duke camps growing up. Am I correct?
I did 3 years in a row.
Okay. And Coach K was there.
He was.
Okay. Tell us something from your impression, doing Duke camps.
Two stories. One was, Coach K gives a talk multiple times throughout the camp and he's mm-hmm. around. But one of the talks he gave when I was in sixth grade, which is 2006, my parents were there. So there's 500 campers there and the parents are up in the stands listening. We're in Cameron Indoor Stadium sitting around and Coach K also just has this, you know, incredible presence about him. And so, like, Coach K never one time had to say,
was his presence, sorry to interject,
yeah,
was his presence because of he's Coach K and he's had all the success, and so you were projecting this presence, or did that presence actually emanate from him internally?
Yeah, I think his positional authority preceded that moment. So I think for me anyway, I'm in sixth grade, I don't even remember how I was singing, but I think, you know, for, I mean, Coach K is Coach K. And so everybody who's at the camp also is excited to see Coach K for the most part, or their parents are anyway. And so anyway, Coach K didn't have to tell kids to quiet down at all. I mean, that's like the kind of presence he really had in front of 500 kids. But he told this one story, and he told it many times on interviews and stuff, but it was about his mom, and he was going to go to the practice or school or whatever one day. And his mom goes, "Hey, Mike, just make sure you get on the right bus." And she goes, "Yeah, I'm going to get on that bus. I'm going to go down."
Call him Coach K.
So as his mom goes, you know, "Coach K, make sure you get on the right bus." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm going to take that bus down to 17th. I'm going to go down to 42nd. I'm going to walk down to the third bus." And she goes, "No, Coach K, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is make sure that in your life you get on the right bus and then you let the right people on that bus." And so my dad loved that. And so the reason probably I remembered it for so much of my life is that my dad would always just echo that, you know, make sure you get on the right bus and make sure you let the right people on the right bus, which I think the obvious thing of the story is, you know, you can choose the direction you're going in your life. You can choose the direction of your basketball career because your coach is listening, the direction of your team, and then letting the right people on your right bus, just who influences you and influences your decision making and your relationships and everything that goes along with that. And that was always a really memorable moment. Can I tell one more story?
In a moment. Let me compliment Kyle. That's actually one of the things I think, Kyle, that might be your superpower, is getting on the right bus, letting the right people on that bus. I mean, ever since, so I first met Kyle when I was directing and providing some leadership at PGC. I just finished a keynote and Kyle walked up. And I don't even know exactly what you said, but he said, "I want to come work with you," or "I want to, you know, whatever. Like, I want to be, you know, on your summer staff."
Well, the 20 seconds Tyler was speaking, I'm like, man, this guy's an unbelievable public speaker. I'd heard about Tyler from PGC camps. I think I was a freshman in college at that time. And I just walked up afterwards, which some of my dad and mom and always encouraged me, just like, go meet the people, ask, you don't know what's going to happen. And then, yeah, I just said, man, I would love to work at one of your camps next summer. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Which in Kyle's always done that, I think, is what's led him to being very successful, whether it be that exact moment, the moment that you have, like, even with pickleball. I mean, you do that as well, like around other pros for your YouTube channel. He's just like, he goes and gets around the right people. And even Kyle's decision to move from Florida to Phoenix, he's like, Phoenix is the direction I'm going. That's where, like, the leadership
you were a big part of my life. And you used to be, now not as much anymore.
Yeah, now I'm a big part of his life.
So that's why you're a big part of the reason I moved to Phoenix.
Yeah. And so I would just encourage everyone listening. Many of you listening are on a career path. And I think continue to make decisions and be like, okay, am I on the right bus? Am I on the bus that's going the direction we're going? And am I letting the right people on the bus? And you're going to be influenced by the people that you spend the most time with. And so intentionally put yourself around people that are better than you, that are further along on your coaching journey. People hire the people they know. And you can be really good at what you do, but no one can know about you, and it'll be really hard to get the next job. And so I think just being very intentional about that is going to help you in your career. Also, Coach K's story about his mom saying, make sure you're on the right bus in life, I think he made that up.
Yeah, no chance. I mean, Coach K has never told the truth.
My good friend TJ Rosine, our good friend TJ Rosine, great coach. Did he? Nice. Yeah. He didn't text me.
Yeah.
He told a story one time. I'm like, there's no way that story is true. And he said, Tyler, never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Yeah, I mean, I was around Tyler for many PGC basketball camps as I was getting trained up. He was one of the people training me. And so I got to be with you at multiple camps. And I was like, man, I heard that story last week, and that's not what the score of that game. And you, last week you hit a three, and this time you dunked on somebody to win the match or to win the game. So I was like, man, that's
I love you said match. It just shows that Kyle's all in on this pickleball thing now.
I had to ask what this podcast was even about. Like, I love basketball.
So Kyle's a basketball guy. We've established that. But then 4 years ago?
Oh, yeah. August 21st, 2021. Over 4 years ago, I think.
Kyle decided that he wanted to become a pro pickleball player. He went and played this game recreationally. He's like, this is awesome. He's like, I'm going to be a pro. And what's amazing, I don't think I've ever heard this before in any other professional sport. Kyle went from having never played this game to being a pro pickleball player in 15 months. And so now Kyle's a pro pickleball player. He travels the world, playing professional tournaments. He's won professional medals. He's one of the most well-respected teachers of pickleball in the world. So an unbelievable, like, just coach in his own right. And I think that's a really inspiring story. So let's talk about that story a little bit. Why did you walk away from this basketball thing? Because you were one of the best basketball teachers in the world.
Well, I don't know how big the world is.
Yeah.
But, it's like, I don't think I was one of the best basketball teachers.
You're definitely in the top 5%.
I think I'm pretty good at managing a large group of kids and making them laugh and then teaching them a couple pick and roll moves.
Exactly. One of the best basketball teachers in the world.
No, but you know, the how did I get going? Why did I walk away?
Why did you walk away?
Well, the first, I mean, it's kind of like maybe a lot of great things. I mean, I won't go down there. Okay. I think part of it was the first time I played pickleball, I loved it. It was fun. I was like, let me go back and do this again. It piqued my interest for all of, you know, basketball coaches coaching. You know, you probably played basketball in your career or another sport, and then you don't play anymore. You just work out for workout's sake to keep your health good, or maybe you do some recreational stuff. And so I played this game and I was like, man, this is a fun game. That was a good workout. These are great people. And one of my best friends today, I met that day where I was in Scottsdale.
Is that Zach?
Zach, yeah, he was in there. And the crazy thing, I've done a timeline on this. The first day I was ever there, I texted Tyler and I was like, this is the sport. And I don't know why I typed it or just like that. But I sent him a picture, and in the picture was Zach, our good friend now. But I just loved it, went back the next day. And then I went back the next day. And then all of a sudden I found myself Monday through Friday, I finished working with PGC. And then I would, like, you know, in the evenings go to play pickleball. And then 3 months in, I got an invite to a better game, quotes, you know, air quotes, better game, and at a private court. And so I showed up, and, you know, that morning the kid texted me. He's like, hey, bring your A game. This is a good group of players. And I don't even know, like, okay, that sounds fine. I don't even know. So I show up and play, and it was super fun. These guys are better than me. They were talking about pro pickleball probably 3 months in at this point. I didn't even know pro pickleball was a thing. I didn't know much about pickleball. In fact, the only time I'd ever heard the word pickleball was at a PGC retreat in Mexico while on a sand volleyball court with Debbie Black.
Debbie Black, which if you do not know who Debbie Black is, Google her immediately. We showed film of her for 20 years at PGC. Well,
is it public? Oh, excuse me. Is it public?
I don't know if that film is public or not. But yeah, you can find some bill. She in the actually, WNBA player, like the most she's 5'2", maybe, and she got defensive player of the year in the WNBA. 5'2", unbelievable disruptor. Like, we showed you should find film of WNBA.
Okay, no, here it is. Here it is. Yeah.
The link is in the description.
How to become a lockdown defender. I did a video interview with her because we didn't have any public footage.
Can you text me that link right now? Because
and if you want Tyler to text it to you directly, his number is
555. one other thing, while Kyle's texting me this link that I really value in Kyle and value in friends, if we're talking about get on the right bus and let the right people on the bus, is like Kyle and I are committed to being now people. And that's why I said do it right now. He's like, yeah, text me that later. It often doesn't happen. If it's important to do, it's important to do now.
My favorite quote,
Kyle.
That's my favorite. Is you know, we write things down so we can forget about it now. Like, we don't write down to remember, we write down so we can forget. In the theory of like coming back and
remember. I've never heard you say that.
I say it all the time. Yeah, it's a thing I say to myself. Good. Yeah, it is good because I love to write things down now. But Debbie Black was on this volleyball court and she goes, I think you play basketball anymore. And Debbie Black, I think she's like in her 40s and she was coaching, maybe she still is. Super intense volleyball player. And if you watch these highlights, you're going to see like the type of player, even the intensity she has in the interview. And she goes, no, I don't play basketball anymore. I just play pickleball. And that was the first time. And I remember the first day I went to play pickleball, you know, years later, which is that story I was just telling. I was like, oh, Debbie Black plays pickleball.
Interesting.
And so that was the first time I ever heard the word. I never heard the word. And so it all really just compounded after that, where I got invited to a better game. And then I got invited to quote drill. That's what we call it in pickleball. It's just like
practicing.
It's practice. Yeah. It's like, but like, do you
talking about practice?
Talking about, right. So you want to go drill. And Zach, our friend, asked me to drill and then play a tournament. And then maybe I could become a pro at this. Cause you know, no one's ever, you said, done it in any other sport. Well, it's not like, I mean, many people have been like, hey, let me become a professional golfer and then try to document it. Or let me become an NBA player and try to document it. But it's like, those are...
They've never done it.
It is true, factually. Those are more established sports. Pickleball, it was very new. And I did this at a time where, you know, like right now is the hardest pickleball's ever been. But it's also the easiest competition level it will ever be.
It will ever be.
Because it's just getting better and better by the day. So it was, the timing of it was really good. But I started, I drew a line in the sand. We were playing 3-on-3 basketball. Yep. And a lot of like FIBO, that was like our thing 2 or 3 times a week. We had a tournament coming up in Tempe, Arizona. And we're like, we're going to play this tournament. And I'm like, all right, well, I committed to the tournament. My friend's driving in town for it. I will stop this basketball nonsense after this tournament. And I'm going to go all in and start practicing and training for pickleball. And that Sunday, we won the tournament.
Do you want to point out that we did win the tournament?
We won the tournament. We dominated.
We were the champions.
And I, the whole time, like, please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. I just really want to start training for pickleball on Monday. And then starting Monday, I flipped back into like college basketball days, or, you know, all basketball days of like, I'm going to train and I'm going to pursue this thing. And I had a real clear vision. It was literally from never playing to pro pickleball in 12 months. That became the one liner that I decided to do content around that, which also gave me clarity around what my mission was for it. And it took about 15 months, but that was my goal. I'm like, all right, how am I going to do that? And then I just deconstructed, you know, worked backwards. There's not as much content out there as there is now. I guess I'm kind of the one making a lot of it.
You're the OG. You're the OG. Also, many of you listening are probably into pickleball. You can check Kyle's page out, That Pickleball Guy, on YouTube. A lot of great instructional videos. You'll actually see me cameo in many of those videos.
A lot of them. Mostly YouTube videos you're in.
Where Kyle is making fun of me on my journey, which I am now 95% pickleball. And 5% while I play pickup basketball.
And playing,
as well.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm all in on pickleball also.
A lot of coaches are. When the bubble was going down in the NBA, I mean, I've actually had an NBA referee come and say, hey, let's play pickleball while he was in town. Yeah. And then we played. I mean, the NBA refs love pickleball. A lot of, like, Mark Few is a big pickleball player. TJ Rosine's obviously a big pickleball player. Playing tournaments together.
We've got an online pickleball school. And actually, this is a great time to introduce this. So with pickleball, we also have some brand partnerships. Many of you probably take Element or some other hydration thing, salts. We partner with this one, Slam It. Want to give a shout out to Slam It. It's what I use, and not just because we're partners with them. I really like it. It's my favorite. And you can use code KYLE10 to check it out. Actually, right now, there's a free gift where you only pay shipping. You get some energy drinks.
3 packs, yeah.
Yeah, some 3 packs. So Slam It, S-L-A-M-I-T. Anything you want to say about it, Kyle?
Oh, just I mean, we live in Phoenix, so in the summer, you're suffering. And so I've had a lot of hydration partners reach out to me to try to partner. But this is actually... the best tasting one I've had. So
this is the first time.
It's also very healthy, which is why I like it as well.
Baja Gold Sea Salt, 6 electrolytes instead of 3.
We could name all of it.
This is the first time I've ever done product placement within the hours. First time ever.
Yeah. Well, it's a good product.
Okay.
Right, yeah, I really like it.
Check it out. Slam It. Okay.
These are like little packs inside of here. Let me go on for another. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. 3 questions and we'll get out of here.
Really? I can talk about, this is like a longer, people want to hear a longer episode here. They have a long drive.
If you're driving, pull over right now. Turn on YouTube, watch it.
And Mike Krzyzewski's mom said, Coach K.
Coach K, go to the right bus. all right, Kyle is a coach. We're all coaches here, listening and watching. Kyle, specific to coaching pickleball, what would you say you've learned about coaching through learning how to coach pickleball? Like, what's one coaching tip?
I have 2 top of mind right now. Okay. And for like, people listening who aren't familiar with me, which is probably most of you, I train like 2, 3, 4 hours a day between on court fitness and recovery stuff. And then the other part of my day is producing content, educational content for pickleball on YouTube, different platforms. And so I spent a lot of time with Tyler. And a lot of basketball principles have gotten brought over. And so Tyler's actually very influential in a lot of the content. So I spent a lot of time thinking, how do I get better at pickleball for myself? And then how do I get better educating a mass group of people, many of them who were not athletes ever, who are just like,
they're older and they weren't athletes. And this is the first
thing they've done, which is awesome. And they got really hooked on it. And so much of this information is new. So I'm always thinking about this. So there's 2 on my mind. One is, I'm constantly thinking, what is the most important skill I can work on that will have the greatest impact on my game? Right. And I just ask myself that question daily, because I really do, because I go out and practice every single day. So like right now, I've identified something in my own game right now that I've spent probably the last 10 days just working on.
You should tell them what it is. I mean, some people might care.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's so many nuanced skills in pickleball, and I'm at a place, I'm playing professionally, where I've become competent at just about every skill. And now I'm like, okay, I'm competent at every skill, but there's a reason I'm losing games or matches because I don't win every tournament. In fact, I rarely win tournaments. I'll medal at tournaments, but the draws are big. The talent's really good. So, you know, if you get top five, top 10, that's a good finish in the competition level. And so I've identified one thing, which is been just when I'm playing up near the kitchen line, which is up near the net for non-pickleball players, I'm letting too many balls. I'm not creating enough pressure. And that's the principle. I'm not creating enough pressure to the opponent. And I've gotten coached on that by a couple of people. And then it clicked for me where I'm like, man, I need to work on this. And I only need to work on this for a certain period of time because my other skills are not going to degrade. Maybe they lose some sharpness for a short period of time, but this is a skill I must have and I must have it as quick as possible. And that's just my own, you know, my own thoughts. So
let me interject there real quick and connect it to basketball coaching. That approach of find a way to make your opponent uncomfortable, find a way to apply pressure is the principle behind all of the systems that we teach at Savvy, mm-hmm. all the ones that many of you follow. Like lock left is like, how can we apply pressure? If we're not applying pressure, we're not doing our job. Race in space, play fast, and apply pressure. We want to be the one that is creating advantage. The aggressive player tends to win.
Yeah, I think like in basketball, you know, if someone catches on the wing and then rips, you know, to the basket, a certain level of player will banana turn out, will get bumped and get off their line, and then we'll have to kick it out because of that. Now, sometimes they get to the basket, but sometimes maybe half the time they get to the basket, half the time they get bumped off the line, have to kick it out. They've lost advantage that maybe they did have. I think pickleball, you know, I'm trying to go from getting bumped off my line per se, actually, literally. To holding my line, which is actually, again,
great analogy.
This is actually the literal terminology we'll use is holding my line for basketball on a straight line drive. And when they bump me, I win that moment of contact. And then I either get to the bucket or I created the advantage for somebody else. And I think, you know, for pickleball and basketball, if you get bumped off your line half the time, well, you're giving up, you know, half the time, you're not applying pressure that would compound over time for an entire game. And that's something I never would think about a lot when I first started pickleball is the pressure compounds. So yes, if you gave up the advantage this time, no big deal. It's like, you know, anything. It's like if you give up the advantage a second time, that's okay. But if you end up giving up the advantage nine times, the other team feels safe. And in pickleball, if you keep the advantage one time, then two times, then three times, then four times, well, I've seen this happen a million times, and I've been on the situation where it's happened to me. You get to, you know, playing best two out of three, games to 11, you get to game two, and the team falls apart at 5-5, and then the other team goes on to win 11-5, not because of what happened at 5-5, but because of what happened.
The accumulation of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's like the stone cutter hitting the stone, the 99th one.
It's not the 99th hit.
It's all the game for it.
Whether you're a first time listener or a regular listener, I want to thank you for being here. And if there's something that you've heard and you want to go deeper with us, the absolute best way is to join our Savvy Basketball membership. You can get ongoing support from Tyler and I and our exclusive community, but you also get our entire classroom of courses and weekly live coaching calls. So if you have questions on offense, defense, player development, practice design, culture building, anything that you need support on, we're here to help. And the best way to get that help is through our Savvy Basketball membership. I have our 7-day free trial on. If you want to give it a shot, the link is in the description below. All right, back to the episode.
Kyle was coaching me yesterday, actually, on the pickleball court. And I think this would be something for every coach to take away right now. Coach your team into making aggressive mistakes. So he's coaching me into the same thing. Reaching in and applying pressure, taking the ball out of the air, as opposed to backing off the line and letting the ball bounce. And so yesterday I had the opportunity to train with Kyle and another pro, and I got to kind of be on the side and get every 10th ball. And every time I reached in and attempted to take it out of the air and apply pressure, even when I missed it into the net, both of them are like, good, good, good. That's a good mistake.
Also, because we wanted to feel the pressure from the opposite side. So we were trying to help Tyler, but we also wanted like better training. So we're like, hey, stop backing off the line. You're hurting us as well.
Yeah. And then whenever I backed off the line, even if I did hit it over the net, like, nope, that's a bad mistake. Yeah. So identify those for your players. Like, what are the good mistakes that are moving players in the direction that you want them to go versus what are the bad mistakes that are keeping them from progressing, getting on the bus and going in the right direction?
Yeah. And that's great. Let me show the second one. I think it's really relevant to basketball coaches. In-game coaching, I think, as well as I've noticed this a lot with, you know, not in pickleball, we don't often have a coach next to us, which is, it's becoming more prevalent and I want that more, you know, but there's just not a ton of people skilled enough to coach at the pro level just yet. It's still growing, but I think what happens a lot of times is with partner communication, you're kind of coaching each other the best you can. And then if you do have a coach, this idea that coaching or giving suggestions to your partner is less about giving them something where their current skill can make the change. That was a bad way to say it. But basically it's like, if I am have Tyler focused, if he's focused on one thing and we come into a timeout and I'm like, hey, see if you can do this one other thing. Well, if he already has the skill to do it, it's my job to know if he does, then he can redirect his focus from over here on the left to over here on the right, because we need to be doing that to win the game. One of my big mistakes is then you can summarize this, because I think I'm doing like a 72% job of explaining it, but is I'll often give suggestions to my partners of what I know is the right strategy, because I've studied it enough, I've seen it enough, but I haven't taken into account their skill isn't good enough to make that adjustment in a real game with real emotions, with fans there, with cameras on, with an opponent trying to win. And because of that, they make an error. I get frustrated because I didn't give them it's bad coaching. And then the error compounds because they're trying to do what I suggested, but they're not capable yet of doing what I suggested. And then it's frustration both ways of like, I'm trying, but like, I'm not good enough. And so obviously that can inform how they train, how I communicate moving forward, but I'm trying to do a better job of that. Give suggestions to what their skill level can actually do.
Yeah. I mean, the one that we have all felt is your team is playing a team that is bigger, stronger, more athletic, and more skilled. And they're pressing you. And they're stealing the ball, and it's a layup line. You're getting blown out. And then we call a timeout, and we're like, frustrated, like, run the press break, okay? They don't have the skill to even execute anything, let alone trying to, like, run some sort of formation or press break. They can't even pass and dribble against that level of pressure. They don't have the skill to execute it. It's a skill gap.
On top of that, I think I felt this a lot coming up in basketball through every level, and I definitely know it to be true in pickleball. Is I don't think coaches or even players themselves understand the complexity of our emotional state in game. And so a coach, I will think very logically, I can go watch a pickleball game and say, why the heck would he hit that shot in that moment? And then I'll be in that moment and I'll say, I don't know either. Mm-hmm. I know logically what I should have done, but emotionally I was like, I felt scared. I felt frustrated. I just felt like I didn't want to mess up. Never states you would like to be in, but mm-hmm. when you're playing, especially as I feel this most when I'm playing a more talented opponent, is they make you do things that make you uncomfortable, which is what we're trying to do for the people we're playing against. But I think with coaching, you know, a coach like the press break example was like, do this. We've practiced this so many times, but it's like, we haven't actually practiced this that many times with refs, with a better opponent than our second team, mm-hmm. with actual fans, with you over there screaming at me.
Yeah.
And then you come off and you're like, I wanted to do the right thing, but emotionally I just wasn't strong enough in that moment. And that comes along with skill, but there's two components to it. So,
yeah. And I think we can finish with this, and we're going to go into I think it'd be really good to share with them the three steps of recognize, decide, and execute, then how we automate that. So skill here at Savvy, as you know, you've been a listener for a while, like, we define as skill as anything that can be learned, right? So when players can't execute what we want them to in games, they need to upgrade their skill. So how do we actually upgrade our players or our team's skill? And we're actually putting together a framework right now for that exact thing within our pickleball school that applies to basketball. And I'm actually working through this in our player development system in basketball as well. And so Kyle's going to share through these three steps of upgrading skill that I think you should, when you identify that they can't run the press break, how do you upgrade the skill?
I'll preface it before I get to our actual framework, because I mean, there's been so much good work on this in basketball.
Yeah.
Like Doug Lamov, as far as like, where should you put your eyes? PGC basketball, I learned like peek at the rim so you can gain court awareness, because when you gain court awareness, you can see more. If you can see more, you can make better decisions. And I think in pickleball, it's the exact same thing. Like if you can't see what's happening, you're not going to be able to make good decisions. And if you don't make good decisions, you don't have good shots, the whole thing. So our framework that we're working on, so the language we're using is recognition, decision, execution. And so, you know, I make a lot of YouTube videos, and YouTube videos are primarily execution videos. Like, how do you hit this specific shot?
Yeah, and like for basketball, like, how do you, what's the technique of your shot, or like, what's the footwork of the dribble move? That's all execution.
And I used to hear a lot in basketball when we would teach, just like, it's read-based training, it's which is all like similar stuff to this, which is, the kid knows how to do a crossover, but he doesn't know when to do a crossover. And that's a very similar thing in pickleball. I mean, it's probably all sports, really. Yeah. But so recognition is just can you see the situation developing? And then at another level, can you see it earlier and earlier and earlier? And to really where you can start to predict, you know, that you can recognize the pattern that's taking place and you can be so early.
And let me just highlight that word because it's not used very much in basketball coaching. It's used a lot in pickleball. And I think it's a really valuable concept to utilize in basketball, pattern recognition. All right. A pattern, Kyle, you can riff on this.
Yeah.
A pattern is any situation that repeats itself often. We at Savvy believe get good at what happens most. So like the players in the world that are the absolute best at using ball screens are the best at pattern recognition, that specific pattern, right? When they receive the ball screen, how are all five defenders guarding that ball screen so they can recognize in the moment, where's the biggest advantage? Is it the roll? Is it the lift?
Yeah.
Is it the helper's help, right? So that's pattern recognition. But if players aren't in that pattern over and over and over again, they aren't able to actually go through this process. So as a coach, identify the patterns that your players are going to be in the most within your system, and then get them really good at recognizing those patterns. They don't need to see everything. That's going to slow down their improvement. When you can repeat similar patterns, then they're going to improve faster. So how do we do that as a coach? Well, first, you need to design a system that's going to put your players in similar patterns more so they can improve faster.
If you're better at those patterns than the opponent, you'll win that matchup.
Because you're creating the patterns.
You're creating it,
right? And that's the whole concept behind lock left defense. We do this every day in practice. We play every game this way. We're going to be better at these patterns. Our opponents aren't playing against us every day in practice. They're not going to be as good as these patterns. So we might be better than we would be if we were just playing a neutral pattern. Right. And then in your training, train within these patterns as well. Okay. So pattern recognition. So
I just think the even simpler example would be like you're on the wing and defender is up on you and he's denying the ball and it's a backdoor cut.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's a when then scenario. When defender overplays, then I backdoor cut. And I think you can put yourself in that scenario many times. I think actually the biggest mistake, a big mistake with basketball, when I used to train that exact thing, was we were doing that drill without context of what we were doing it for. And so even when I trained for pickleball, I almost never do a drill where I can't directly tie it to a situation that happens in game. And that's actually helped my training a lot because it transfers better. Oh, I've seen this exact scenario and I know exactly how to do it. And so one final thing, then I'll go to decision, but the way I trained in pickleball, I'm pretty savvy with video, savvy, pretty bad.
I didn't know if you did on purpose.
I didn't actually, okay. But with video and editing, and there's like so many ways to be good at basic editing. But one of the great ways that I think have helped myself and others get better at pattern recognition is finding examples from the NBA, WNBA, from college, from your own games, of that exact scenario happening. And so it's like, hey, this is, you know, even if you're doing film with your team, this is the scenario we have to get better at.
Yeah.
So then when you go on court, they can tie back to the real scenario. Because if there's no real scenario being tied back to, it's oftentimes going to be lost, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just connect the dots on that real quick. Then you can go into decide. So we talk about through lines when designing your practice at Savvy. In fact, in our Savvy Coaching membership, which you probably heard about a little while ago from Mark, we actually design the practice plans that we provide for you with different through lines through our practice planning. So in your pre-practice, your prime, and your four-quarter games, establishing a through line. So we'll use the backdoor reads as a through line, right? So we'll pre-practice the through line in recognizing, probably through video and pre-practice, okay, these are the situations where we want to backdoor. Then we'll go to our prime, and we'll actually teach the pattern recognition read out of our offensive formation to then read the backdoor. Then we'll play a 3-on-3 game with a locked start that requires a backdoor before the offense is allowed to score. Then we'll play a 5-on-5 game where we say the KO or the game over is any backdoor cut for a bucket ends the game to try to generate that pattern more, right? So that's through lines throughout your entire practice. The common mistake, both in pickleball training and in basketball practice, is, oh, we'll isolate and teach this one thing and then move on to this other thing and assume that that's going to transfer. We have to try to hit the same concept, the same pattern, the same read many different ways in the course of our training. And when you hyper-focus on one thing, one pattern, that's when you can improve quickly. When you hit 10 different patterns, you probably improve not at all.
And that's what I've been working on the last 10 days. One specific pattern that I know has a big impact on one side of the court against everybody I will play, this will show up. And so that's the first one. So recognition. The second one is decision. And so we, you know, there's smarter people out there than me talking about this. So I'm sure there's other podcasts on this, but this is just like, it's fresh in my mind. So like you recognize.
And if you know them, send them to us. Yeah. I want to listen to it.
Yeah. Cause it's not, there's nothing really new out here, but this is what's resonating for us and what I'm seeing. And so recognition first. And if you're able to recognize early, I keep using that word early. Cause like if you can recognize something sooner, earlier, like think about you're a defender and you see the ball being swung, and then you can jump the passing lane and you can get a steal. You recognize that probably sooner. A lot of people see it happening, but they don't react or respond. And so then the pass gets made. They don't get the steal. They didn't see it happening.
The ability to steal a pass has very little to do with your foot speed.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with your ability to recognize. We talk about anticipation, but anticipation is just how soon can you recognize a common pattern.
My college coach used to actually praise me, not for a lot, but for my off-ball defense. I remember one time we did a drill where it was closeout, one-on-one closeouts, and I wasn't getting off till I stopped somebody. So like 2 hours.
So you never got off.
Yeah, so 2 hours later, he just called practice. Thanks for stealing the joke. and so we know each other too well. But all off the ball, I was very good at reading. You have to be if you're slow. And so anyway, the second one is decision. So if you can,
Kyle and JJ Redick both praise for their off ball defense.
Yes, bro.
Which is a nice way to say you can't stop anyone. Yes.
You're
always in the right position.
I mean, isn't that how life works though? Like a good on ball defender is probably like not naturally as good of an off ball defender because they're just like, I can stop anybody in front of me and I can recover faster.
Kind of funny. We were talking about this yesterday. Kyle always in pickleball always gets praised for his defense. And he's like, yeah, it takes so much pride in my defense, but he kind of recognizes, he's like, does that mean I'm bad at offense?
Yes. I'm like, I don't like being praised for my defense anymore. But so the second one's decision. So if you read the situation, recognize, then that allows you the ability to make a better decision. And I think a lot of times, you know, I'm just thinking about, I'm trying to think of a basketball example, but it makes sense, right? If you're seeing a situation you can anticipate, and the decision could just be like, go for the steal, don't go for the steal, because I saw it happening and I decided to anticipate. And in pickleball, so much of it is I see that I've earned an advantage opportunity, which could mean like they pop the ball up high enough for me to attack. And I want to be able to see that early enough so I can make the proper physical adjustments. So I can make a good decision of, do I attack it or do I just, you know, we call the word dink. It's for another podcast. And so recognize first helps you make the better decision. So you can see it sooner so you can decide better. And then after you make a better decision, that's going to ultimately allow you to have the best execution.
Yeah. Before you go into execution. So decision. Every one of us as coaches has said or heard this: when someone goes for a steal and it's a bad decision and they're late and they miss it, we say, don't gamble.
Don't gamble.
Right? Yeah. Don't gamble. Stop gambling. Stop gambling.
I've heard that so long.
Right? But you as a coach don't say that when they get the steal.
Good gamble.
Right? Yeah,
well,
right.
It's not a gamble if you know it's going to be there.
Everything's a gamble.
Oh.
but it is like every decision is a gamble. Right, it's a bet, and we've talked a lot about Andy Duke's thinking in bets. You guys are familiar with it.
It's about increasing probability. So
that's all a decision is. It's making a better gamble. It's making a better decision.
I don't like the word gamble though. It feels very risky. It feels like it's better.
That's because you're not a gambler. I love the word gamble.
It feels like you're improving your probability of success.
That's what a decision is. So just make better decisions. So it's not don't ever try to steal the ball. It's just make better decisions. When you say don't gamble, you're saying you don't make a good decision here. So that's what that step of upgrading skill is. One, you got to improve actually recognizing, and then you got to decide, is this a situation where I should try to get the steal or I should not? That skill.
Yeah, and Tyler, he's talked about the savvy community on school, and we have a pickleball one as well.
Pickleball school, check it out.
Yeah, and people come in all the time, and I've talked to probably thousands of people at this, maybe 1,000 people at this point, who will come in and tell me what their biggest struggle is. And I would say 80% of the time, they tell me that their biggest struggle is something from an execution standpoint.
Yeah.
I need a better third shot drop. It's a shot. I need a better two-handed backhand. I need a better overhead put over.
That's basketball players too. That's every basketball player's answer too.
I think it's also very natural because when you don't, I don't know how you, if you don't think like this because you haven't been trained to or you've never seen it or haven't, it's like, why would you think like this? You're just like, I you don't know what you don't know. And so, I'd say 80% of the time it's the execution thing, which is really just can you hit that shot well? Can you execute the shot? Can you get your elbow in? Can you shoot the ball? Can you?
We don't talk about elbow.
I know. My dad does, and it came back to me.
Use your legs.
And so we shouldn't use inside jokes that are 10 years old.
I think
just for you. I mean, they're just laughing because they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so keep driving. But can you make the shot? Can you execute the crossover so you drive by the defender? Like the physical action. It's why you might do ball handling drills, which I know you don't believe in. And so to like get by somebody. So it's recognition. Can you see it? Decision. Can you choose well based on what you saw? And then execution. Can you actually hit the shot well so your outcome is positive more than it is negative? You know, higher probability of the time. And so anyway, and I think the final thing for coaches as well is I'm constantly evaluating now that we've come up with this framework for ourselves, which is, when someone asks me a question, I'm trying to think, okay, is this a decision? Is this recognition decision, or is an execution problem? And it's very easy when you have this language to be able to filter it through the framework. Because I would argue that what's a majority, maybe, I don't know, 61%, you know, a large part of basketball player and they just haven't, they're not aware, you know? So like you have to decide, is it need to be an upgrade? Like Tyler was saying, do I need to upgrade their recognition ability, which is almost always yes, but then also, or maybe they have great recognition on this one thing. Like they consistently get to the paint and they earn an opportunity to score, but they consistently go off one foot and get knocked off balance. And so it's like, man, their recognition and of how to get to the paint is really good. We actually don't need to improve that. Their decision and execution, which are tied, they're tied together of, do I go off one or do I go off two strong? And do I give it? Do I give it a little?
They are tied together. But the decision comes first, right? So we might see someone go off of one foot and get knocked off balance, and be like, "Oh, they need to execute that one foot finish better."
Yeah.
But no, they actually need to make a different decision to play off two in that pattern. So that's a decision problem. Then once they can make that decision, then we actually upgrade a completely different skill set. Their 2 foot finishes,
that's,
right?
That's a great way to say it. Yeah. And so I'm just like, what skill? What do I need to upgrade here? Recognition, decision, or execution. And then that informs what I train for myself.
Right. And then when you train within that three-step process, the outcome, the goal is to automate it so that it requires no conscious thought.
Yeah. The way I'm currently defining it is, I think we talked about this, is can I do it without thinking, under pressure, over and over?
Right.
And that's, you know, that's,
and to go back to the press scenario, the answer is no. And so when the answer is no, then we go through this framework. Do we need recognition, decision, or skill upgrade? And let's do those things. And then when it's automated, then they can try to implement your press break, because they're not thinking about not getting the ball stolen from them when they dribble or pass it. They can actually think about, here's the space or the way that we want to manipulate the defense.
It's a pretty frustrating process I found myself, because I'm going through this every day. Because you're like, man, I think it's a recognition problem, but the recognition part's actually a pickleball. It's really hard. The ball's, you have under 1 second. You have
so fast.
Tenths of a second to make this decision, or maybe you call it a read. And, because of that, you often, a lot of overwhelm happens. And I think in pickleball, when I'm training this, I'll go into a, you know, 2v2 situation. We're playing, you know, full points and games. And I start to get overwhelmed. It's like, man, I'm like not getting it, you know, because it takes time. It really does take time for your brain to process this, you know, at one speed and then faster and then faster and then faster. And then other parts of my game start to, like, will start to wither a little bit just because I'm working on this one thing and it's not going well, which just makes the whole thing overwhelming. And I think anytime you have an overwhelmed mind, which a lot of times in press break, I remember this all the time, you have a really talented, fast, if they're in the passing lanes, they're overwhelming you. When you have an overwhelmed mind, everything else is so much harder. Mm-hmm. And so much of this is actually getting players, basketball players, pickleball players, to go from having an overwhelmed mind to having a more calm mind, because a calmer mind is going to make better decisions, and then better decisions are again going to lead to better execution. But you know, a sped up mind just focused on execution is going to be a bad player.
I think that's a great way to end it. This has been, I would say, more valuable for coaches than I even thought it would be initially.
That's about what I thought.
A couple reminders: if you're interested in pickleball at all, check out That Pickleball Guy on YouTube. If you're interested in electrolytes, check out Slam It. Use Kyle 10.
It's like slamit.com is the, I think that's, I gotta check that
out. Sure hope so.
Yeah. Type in Slam Electrolytes.
See what happens.
Or just text Tyler at
555 SAVI. Kyle, I appreciate you joining. That was actually, did you have more fun or less fun than you
thought? No, I knew it was gonna be fun. Yeah, we haven't, I don't know.
This reminds me of the peak.
Yeah.
So back during COVID.
I guess we're not ending. You're almost to your house. We'll give you a little more.
Yeah. Yep. Just circle the block. Back during COVID, Kyle and I did Was it Daly?
And Rudy Bentley. I think Matt.
Shout out Rudy Bentley.
Matt McLeod.
Matt McLeod. Shout out Matt McLeod. Motto.
Yeah, we did a daily. COVID hit. And
it was Daly.
We did Daly for 92 days, I think, of a podcast. We had Cody Zeller, or maybe Luke Zeller, maybe Tyler Zeller.
The whole Zeller family.
Mr. Zeller.
Ronald Norad.
Ronald Norad, yeah. A lot of people came. Anyway, it was a daily podcast. This is the first time.
Dave Love. Couldn't believe I said shoot feet those under him.
Yes, he almost hung up on the call. That was fun. He was a nice guy. And so every sport has so much similarity, you know, from a physical standpoint. It's like recognition, decision-making, execution of shots, your ability to stay balanced under pressure, your ability to stay emotionally calm.
Keep circling really the block.
Tough moments. Here we go. And so, anyway, I almost never watch basketball anymore. I've become so consumed with this for the last 4 years. And I think that also is part of the reason I was able to go get to the professional ranks quicker, which is because I was so consumed by it, which maybe was healthy, maybe it wasn't. But yeah, there's so many similarities in everything. And so it's cool to just hear you even make the basketball references again and me try to think about backdoor cuts and closing
you
out.
You did a pretty good job.
I mean, I can't close out to save my life. But I'll tell you what.
He can close off.
I started teaching at PGC, if you ever went to one of my camps, if everyone's listening, which you're probably not because I guess it doesn't matter. But I feel like I actually found the absolute secret to closing out when you're a slow player.
Tell us.
I'm not going to tell you. That's for another episode.
Oh, he's coming back, folks. All right. Well, you can go ahead and pull into your driveway. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. I'm Tyler. That's Kyle. Until next time, stay savvy.
Thanks for making it to the end of the hours. And before I let you go, I want to make sure you can continue to learn with us in between episodes by joining our newsletter. You'll get weekly coaching insights to your inbox, which includes coaching notes from every episode. No spam, just clear, practical tools that'll make you a better coach. You can sign up at SavvyCoach.com. Stay savvy.
Hey, I'm Tyler. This is Mark. We are Savvy Coaching.
Today's going to be a great day. Like,
keeping the main thing the main thing.
Shout out Dick DiVinzio.
Stay savvy, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Stay savvy.